So then the next committee is the Technology Task Force. Is there any report, Jim Dingaman?
Yeah. We had a very successful meeting several weeks ago with Rachel Quester. Rachel Quester is part of the team at the New York Times who puts out The Daily, which is the largest heard news podcast in the United States. So we had her come and talk for 2 hours. Last week, we had a discussion about the Edison Infinite Dial study, which comes out every year. And basically, the gist of that is that we feel that this foundation has to really upgrade the apps at each station, because push messaging is really something that we don't incorporate at all or fleetingly, and that is clearly upgraded and upset traditional morning and afternoon drive completely. So that's basically looking at all the impacts of all the different bells and whistles of digital technology as of this year when they did the survey, or last year. So that's what we did. We're going to have a bunch of high school students who run a radio station come and talk to us. Generation Z, everybody talks about our age demographics. Well, we want to get all the young kids as involved. Anyway, they're going to teach us.
Great, thanks. Unless there are questions for Jim Dingaman, we would be moving on to unfinished business. And I think I got the order right here. The first one that we are going to do is the resolution on clarification of community advisory board seats and election. And there's a motion in the appendix. And hang on. All right, now I have that motion in the appendix ready. This is a motion from James McFadden, and let me read the motion, and then we'll see if there's a second. Whereas community advisory boards are essential for obtaining any future CPB funding, and whereas the Pacifica Executive Director has been charged with exploring future possibilities for Pacifica's eligibility for CPB funds, which would involve community advisory boards, and whereas community advisory boards are beneficial to the stations independent of CPB funding by promoting station membership, improving listenership, and assisting in fundraising, and whereas community advisory board size has been set by PNB motion March 2010, that is 2010, as follows. The CAB of each station shall comprise a minimum of 4 members and a maximum of 24 members. And whereas community advisory board election method is specified by the PNB motion of March 2010 as follows. The LSB makes its appointments to the CAB from the group of nominees using the single transferable vote preferential voting system for a term of 3 years, and whereas there is ambiguity as to whether the LSBs can further limit the size of the CAB to less than the maximum of 24 members, and whereas the number of community advisory board seats impacts the STB voting formulas and limits available outreach to the community, therefore be it resolved, the Pacifica Community Advisory Board's available seats in election is set equal to 24 minus the number of occupied seats, which shall be used to determine the voting threshold using droop quota formula needed for election via STV voting. And be it resolved that should the number of nominees be less than the number of seats available, then a simple yes, no abstain voting may be used instead of ranking, since no transfer of votes occur in such a case, and that a yes is equivalent to a ranked vote and a no or abstain is equivalent to not ranking a nominee, and that all yes, no abstain votes are counted as valid votes cast in the STV droop quota threshold for election. End of motion. Is there a second for the motion?
Lawrence said he was going to second this at one point.
This is James. I'll second it.
That was James Sager.
Thank you.
I was trying to unmute myself. Thank you.
Got it. All right. James McFadden, if you would like to motivate.
Yeah, I think the motion pretty much motivates itself. CABs are a positive. Independent of whether we have CPB funding or not, it's just that each person on the CAB is an ambassador for the station and the network, and having more ambassadors out there getting us more listeners is really a good thing. And I think the efforts to impose artificial limits on how big the CAB can be, I think it'll be tough to actually find 24 members to be upset on the CAB. So I think there's no reason to limit that, but you could imagine an LSB wanting to limit it, and limiting it really is just a matter of, you know, whether the LSB wants to try to exert control on it. I think the whole point of the CAB is that it needs to be independent. So having the LSB exert limits on the size, you know, especially to try to limit it to say with a minimum of 4 on your CAB. I mean, that's just, it just seems silly to me. And this all came about because KPFA, when we were trying to under the gun to get a CAB election. And so KPFA did one, but it was done with, it required a majority vote for someone to get on the CAB. It was, did not use STB voting. And the last part of this motion basically says you can, you know, when the number of people that are less than the number of seats available, there's no real difference. There's no transferable votes in that situation. And so you can just use a yes, no voting. And that would mean that the election that was done would be a valid election at KPFA.
Thanks.
And that's all.
Thanks, James McFadden. I see some hands. Jim Dingman, then Teresa.
Yeah. I guess in New York, we probably have the longest, quote, CAB in the whole network functioning since 2008. I know Carol Wolfley was the chair of the CAB at KPFA for a while, but we've preserved it, and it's gone through many, many, many metamorphoses. I was selected onto the CAB.
5 minutes.
Before this STV thing was voted on in 2010. And then, of course, we all know that the entire process disintegrated after the money was not received. So I just want to bring that up because we still have a CAB in New York that's sort of composed of folks that have been doggedly working to keep a presence. And, you know, I just want to sort of, you know, raise that because I don't want to see them get sort of kicked unceremoniously into the dirt because people decide to play, you know, to have a new system, to implement this system, and then these guys are just like viewed as superfluous when they've actually been very loyal and worked hard for many years to maintain the presence of the CAB. I just want to keep that in mind. Each station has different situations right now.
5 minutes is up.
Move to extend for 5 minutes, please.
Yeah, I hang on 1 second. I think, I'm not sure that we actually set that each of these items on this part of the agenda was 5 minutes. I think we put 20 minutes, but we had 2 items on the original agenda, and then the third one got added. So, yeah, I don't know what I'm saying. Go ahead. Is there a second?
Second. Vanessa seconds.
Thank you. Any objections to the motion to extend this item for 5?
6 months.
Hearing none. 5 more minutes. Teresa.
Yeah. I think that there's a problem when you use STV and you have no threshold, that you actually, you know, if someone wants someone on a board and the majority doesn't want that person on the board, I think that the majority should rule. I don't think that's unrealistic to think that 51% should be the deciding factor there. So I move to substitute, and my substitute reads, whereas community advisory boards are essential to obtaining future CPB funding, and the Pacifica executive director has been charged with exploring future possibilities for applying for CPB funds, therefore, be it resolved that the Pacifica National Board supports the following CPB regulations involving the requirement that, quote, the CAB structure and composition, comma, including the number of members, comma, their terms, comma, and method of appointment and removal, comma, should be established by the station's government governing body. And then further, it says the composition of its advisory board are reasonably representative of the diverse needs and interests of the community served by such station. So that's a quote from CPB regulations.
Excuse me. As the recording secretary, Teresa, can you please email me that because I can't type as fast as you're talking?
I'm sorry. I sent it to the LSB, but I will send it to you, Marianne. Thank you.
Oh, this is your secretary, Julie. Marianne, I forwarded it to you as soon as Teresa sent it.
Thank you.
So Teresa made a substitute motion. Is there a second?
She smiles. That's good. We worked out a deal. He's going to turn over.
Second.
Thank you.
That was Donald Goldmacher.
Yes, the bad guy.
I object.
Okay, I was gonna allow discussion of the substitute motion.
And the reason I object is the CPB regulations are rather clear. All you need to do is really send them and use them in their totality. They're pretty explicit, and I think that really doesn't really disagree with what Teresa's trying to do. But the entire CPB regulations are rather, that's what we have to follow. They're in the statute. They're statutory in the federal code. That's what we are obligated to follow.
Jim Sagerton, then Lawrence,
and then me.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, as far as following the CPB regulations as determined by statute, federal statute, and available, by the way, if anybody wants to go to KPFTX in the upper left-hand corner, there's a link to the CPB regulations where you can click on it and you can see, you know, a basic outline of the elections. That's where you can see where it says that the governing body of the stations will determine the number of members, the lengths of their terms, but that they determine their own schedule and their activities. Mm-hmm. I just want to say to a previous speaker who was concerned about the longstanding WBA ICAB that with 24 member maximum and with fewer people running than 24, everybody who runs will be placed on the CAB. I don't think there's going to be an issue with those longstanding stalwart members who've been coming for all those years getting onto the CAB. The issue with having 24 people is quorum. And these people have been coming regularly for a long time. I just hope we don't expand the CABs too big, as we see with committees. When they're too big, you don't meet quorum, and then you start not having meetings. Can't miss the meetings. You have to have 4 meetings, 1 per quarter for the CABs, in order for them to qualify. So let's just try to be careful with that. And I think STV voting will guarantee diversity on the board. So I don't have an issue with that. I think it's a good thing for us to maintain our policy of STV voting. That's all. Thank you.
Thanks. Lawrence, then Teresa.
Thank you. Yeah, STV voting would definitely take the stacking, if you will, out of the majority rule when it comes to a CAB. At KPFK, we just saw, you know, Beth and others, Beth Van Guten, my colleague here, we just finished standing up a CAB. We had an open, transparent process. We had the call for applications. We had the district questionnaires. So, and we will be on board in regards to that process. And I think that's a very important process to follow because it does two things. It guarantees diversity, and it also guarantees being above board, if you will, beyond reproach. So I'm objecting to the amendment. I mean to the substitute because I believe that Mr. McFadden's motion to help out Darlene, Mr. McFadden's motion will definitely guarantee that kind of prevention of the tyranny of the majority, if you will, and you know it will guarantee a more a bigger pool, if you will, for people to swim in. So that's why I object to Teresa's motion.
We're at 6 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I'm done.
Yeah. Thanks, Teresa. Then James.
I just really
6 minutes.
Sorry,
we extended for 5, didn't we?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get that's what you meant. We need a motion to extend because we have a couple people on the stack still. Either that or we need to just decide to vote.
Motion to extend.
Motion to extend to exhaust the stack, Chair. I was
second. Sam Sagerton.
Did you catch that, Marin?
No, I didn't. I heard Lawrence and I heard James.
Okay, James Secretary. Sagerton, so let me,
second.
Let me repeat that. I made a motion to extend time to exhaust the stack, and James Sagerton second.
That's right. Okay. All right. So exhausting the stack is Teresa and then James McFadden.
I just really feel it's problematic to use STV in an instance like this. If you have 10 positions and you have 11 people running, it could very well be that number 6, 7, 8, and 9 received a very small percentage of votes, and then you have them on your cab, and that's just wrong. That's just wrong. I think you can have representation, and I would think the cab would want representation. But you could get, because someone is obstructive, but is a good friend of someone, you can have them running, and you can have an over representation of a certain group. I don't understand why you wouldn't let the individual governing body of the station do what they need to do to find a healthy cap. I mean,
thanks, James McFadden, then Jim Dingaman, and then I'll make a point, and then we'll be done. James McFadden.
Yes, the argument against STV voting, you could make that and say, well, you know, we shouldn't have STV voting for the PNB either, because really it should be a majority rule. We shouldn't have minority representation on anybody, and that kind of tyranny of the majority, as Lawrence mentioned, is just not the way that Pacifica is to be run. We currently have STV voting. So what we're really saying is we just want to clarify what the STV voting means. At KPFA, since they weren't followed, what UE had was a tyranny of the majority, where 8 people who were well qualified applied for the and only 4 members that were picked by the majority faction were elected using a majority only vote. In fact, it was worse than that. I've asked 3 times for the election results from that majority only vote and have not received them from the secretary. So I don't even really know that those 4 people got a majority, but, you know, they've said that those 4 did, and the 8 people that were nominated by the minority faction were all, voted down. And I think that kind of lack of representation, you know, and really if you're worried about having not enough people on the thing, get out there and hustle some people to get on the cab. Find the qualified people, get them to fill out forms and do it. You know, this is a job for LSB members to do. They take this job seriously to go out and recruit people. That's what I did. Thank you.
Jim Dingaman.
Yeah. Look, I ran the cab in New York for quite a while, and I'm going to read B, part of the statutory requirements. The board shall be permitted, that's the cab, to review the programming goals established by the station, the service provided by the station, and significant policy decisions rendered by the station. I don't have to tell anybody here, in my opinion, this is all politicized all the time. So people coming on the cab have to be educated as to how you actually do that. Okay, and that is a whole separate process. Frankly, people on the LSBs and the PMB should be educated about how to do that. The board shall advise the governing station with respect to whether the programming and other policies of the station are meeting the specialized educational and cultural needs of the community served by the station, and may make such recommendations as it considers appropriate. In other words, the LSB can't tell them what to do. The LSB can't tell them what to think. They make up their own minds, and any desire to create a Potamkin village defeats the whole nature of setting up a community advisory board. That is antithetical to making it work. I think we'd all agree on that one. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. I put myself on the stack, the point I wanted to make is that I'm looking at the bylaws. I'm looking at Article 8, Other Committees of the Board of Directors, Section 2, Composition of Board Committees. And it says, basically, provided that there is election for more than one committee member, then the board shall use the single transferable method of voting to select committee members. However, that if there is an election for more than one committee member, then the LSB shall use the single transfer. Oh, this is one of those mistakes in the bylaws that the same sentence is written in there twice. In other words, we can use instant runoff voting when you're filling one seat, but you use STV when you're filling multiple seats, which I don't understand how we could not use STV voting when we're talking about cabs and we're setting up, you're filling multiple seats at the same time.
Point of order, Chair?
Yes. Go ahead. Jim Sager.
I just want to point out that I don't think that cabs are traditionally thought of as committees. Those are committees of the PMB that are dealt with in those bylaws, and cabs are considered independent bodies. They're really creations of the CPB, and they follow a different drummer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Tatum.
James beat me to that. I was going to say the same thing. That B in community advisory, it says that is actually a board. It's not a committee of the LSB. So, James, thank you for that.
Okay. I see that Donald put his hand up since the motion to extend to exhaust the stack. I'm not sure that qualifies as that we need to keep keep going on in the stack. So
can we call the motion?
If we can call the motion.
Chair, point of order, it was to exhaust the stack that was in play at the time.
Thank you. Yes, so can we vote on Teresa's substitute motion? I mean, are there objections to Teresa's substitute motion?
I object.
I thought I heard one. Okay. Then Marion, can we vote on Teresa's substitute motion?
Yes. Let me get that. Teresa. Sub. Okay. Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Votes yes. Bert is not there. Jim Dingaman.
No.
Votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sue Goodwin.
Abstain.
Abstains. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Donna Grimes. Is Donna Grimes still here?
I see a picture.
I believe you. Okay, we'll come back to Donna. Evelia Jones. Whoops, she's excused. Sorry. Ali Lexa.
Abstain.
Abstains. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
No.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Whoops. Let's try that in the right place. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Votes no. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Sharon Salam. Sharon Salam. Are you muted? Sharon? We'll come around a second time. Mark Van Landuyt.
Abstain.
Abstains. Beth Van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Did I hear yes?
Yes, you heard yes.
Okay. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Okay, let me go back and catch the ones. Donna Grimes. Is Donna Grimes there?
I thought we were off.
No. The meeting is still continuing.
Sharon, you're not muted.
No.
Okay. I got Sharon for no. Back to Donna Grimes. Is Donna on the call? Okay, I hear nothing.
This is Beth. I wanted to clarify that my vote was no.
Ah, I heard a yes, so I will correct that to a no. Let's see where we are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 no. Julie, how do you choose to vote? Julie, you there?
Yeah, I'll abstain.
Abstains. Okay, the vote being 6 yes and 9 no, the motion fails.
So now we're back to the original motion.
Can we call the motion?
Yeah, we can call the motion.
I would like to say something.
Well, I think that's antithetical to the notion of calling the motion.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, let me get this cleaned up so I can get there.
Are there any objections to the original motion?
I object.
Marion, can you take the vote?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Chair?
Yeah.
Can we clarify what this original motion is?
Oh, this original motion is basically James McFadden's motion that I started reading. So this would say, in effect, that there's a remedy for the fact that the they don't have to retake the vote. They can just recount the vote using the STV method the way that James laid it out. James McFadden.
Okay. Let me know when you're ready.
Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, I've got a problem. You got too many votes. Okay. Teresa Allen.
No.
Vote to no. Jim Dingman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donald Goldmacher.
No.
Votes no. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin. Hello, is Sue there? We'll come back to her. Heather Gray.
Yes.
votes yes. Donna Grimes, is Donna there? I hear nothing. Okay, Ali Lexa.
I'll abstain.
Abstains. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
Yes.
Okay. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam. Sharon, yes. I heard yes. Mark van Landuit?
No.
Votes no. Beth van Gunten?
Yes.
Votes yes. Egberto Willis?
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young?
No.
Votes no. Let me see, who did we miss? I haven't heard from Donna Grimes.
Julie, you may want to answer to unmute. Maybe that might work.
Got it. Okay, yes.
Okay. Was that a yes vote?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think we have everyone. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 yes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. There being 11 yes and 6 no, the motion carries.
All right. That brings us to the next item on the agenda, which I have to pull back up again.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
For those who don't know, when calling the question, you can call the question on all pending motions, or you can call the question on only the immediate pending motion. Sometimes boards get that confused when they call the question. Sometimes they think it's on everything that's pending. But sometimes it may be only the immediately pending motion. Just for your knowledge. Thank you.
Thanks. The next item on the agenda is Teresa's motion. And this is Teresa's motion. If I'm right, this is Teresa's motion, not a motion that came out of a committee. Teresa, are you prepared to read your motion?
Ooh, where did I put it? That is the question.
Well, here. I mean, let me start reading it, and you can tell me if I didn't get the right email message, but let me give it a whirl. Whereas the cost of attorney's fees has or may become beyond the means of Pacifica to support, and whereas Pacifica has many priorities which are being underfunded at this time, partially due to the cost of attorney's fees, the National Board, the Pacifica National Board hereby resolves as follows. One, the Executive Director is requested to communicate the following to any and all attorneys employed directly or indirectly by Pacifica. A, prior to initiating any new cases or adding plaintiffs or defendants to any existing case, said attorney shall consult with the Executive Director of Pacifica to discuss the goals of said litigation, the reasons and potential financial costs for taking such proposed action and alternative means, including formal or informal mediation or arbitration of accomplishing said goals, and what steps have been taken to resolve or ameliorate the problem at hand, which is motivating such action, as well as possible outcomes if no such action is undertaken. B, prior to making any motion or similar action or opposing any motion in any ongoing or contemplated litigation, said attorney shall consult with the ED to discuss the goal and financial cost of any such motion, the possible alternative actions that could be undertaken to obtain said goal, including the cost and potential result of doing nothing and or not filing such a motion.
I couldn't have said it better.
Well, you probably could have, but I found it first. Is there a second to Teresa's motion?
Second.
I was going to quote Obama. Come on, people.
Okay, hang on. Who was that that seconded?
That was Susan Young, I believe. Is there any discussion of this motion? Or would you like to motivate, Teresa, after I read it?
Yes. Obviously, we have a new executive director, and we had a previous interim executive director that made a number of decisions in coordination with our corporate counsel. And I want to be sure that this moving forward that we can say that the person making those decisions, it would either be the executive director or the PNB. Now, I didn't put in here get permission from the PNB, but I would at least like to know that the executive director has been consulted and has control over our expenditures by thoughtfully being asked for the go-ahead on any of these decisions regarding litigation.
Thanks. Is there any other discussion of this motion?
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Lawrence, go ahead.
This motion kind of concerns me. It seems to be overreaching, and I think it ties our hands in regards to the relentless attacks that we are under right now, legally and from within. So I don't feel the logical, any logic to support this motion, because it does tie our counsel's hand. He does come to the board and does seek guidance in regards to any litigation thus far for the last 3 years that I've been here. He's done that. I don't know if Arthur's still on the call, Chair, but I would like to definitely hear from him in regards to what does that do in his role as corporate counsel. I don't know if he is, and if he isn't, then I would move to postpone this till we get a legal clarification or legal opinion on this. So if Walter's on the, is he in the Zoom right now, Chair? If he's not, then I will move to postpone till we get a legal opinion from corporate counsel.
I do not see that Arthur is still on the call. I think once we decided not to have a closed session this evening and he'd already given his report, he probably, bowed out.
Okay. So I will move to postpone, till we get, within 48 hours, a note or an opinion, a legal opinion from Arthur in regards to what does that do in regards to his role as a corporate counsel. What were the implications of Teresa's effort in regards to his representing us as corporate counsel as we are under relentless attack?
I'd like to say something.
Is there a second to Lawrence's motion? Sharon, yes. 7 seconds. Thank you. So now we can have discussion. Go ahead, Teresa.
I think that our executive director is under attack. Our executive director is in charge, and we're working with our executive director. And I think it should just be clear that items need to be run by the executive director. And recently, I heard a statement that indicated that no, the decision wasn't one from the executive director. So I don't think it's going to hurt to say, of course, we consult our executive director before we make those decisions. And money's tight. And I've been told figures of how much has been spent on litigation, and I don't think it's going to hurt to say, is this the best way to proceed?
Thanks. Jim Sagerton, then Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. Had a discussion about this motion in the coordinating committee, and I tried to explain to Teresa that basically this motion doesn't describe the way the client, attorney-client relationship works and doesn't describe the reality of the legal system. And I don't know, I'd be interested to hear from her what she heard that indicated to her that I guess it sounded like she was saying that the attorney was making the decisions. I think at times in the heat of a court case, you have an attorney up there and he has to make decisions because the judge is asking for an immediate process to unfold, and you don't have time to go back and coordinate with people. But prior to initiating any new case or adding plaintiffs or defendants to any existing case, attorneys don't just add plaintiffs and defendants to cases. Of course, they consult with their clients. If they don't, they're going to get disbarred, unless they've been granted powers to make such decisions, which we have not done in Pacifica. So, I mean, on a case-by-case basis, we could. Also, to discuss the goals of said litigation, of course, the attorney discusses that with the client. It's the client who is bringing the case. It's the client who's paying for it. The client is in control of the case. The attorney advises the client. The client decides. So I just think this is unnecessary, and I would prefer to just defeat this motion outright now rather than postpone it and deal with it again. But I realize that's not what's on the table here. And, you know, I could just go on through the rest of the motion. This is not the way an attorney-client relationship works. It doesn't describe the legal system. It doesn't work that way in Pacifica either.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
Lawrence.
And with all due respect, we are the boss. The Pacifica National Board is the boss of the executive director. And as a result of that, the corporate counsel as well. I don't have any issue with, and I'm sure, as James pointed out, that our corporate counsel consults with the client, and I guess the first line of the client and as a result to us is consulting with, Stephanie. I really don't like the underhanded attack of the previous IED, which I believe that's the assumption was that the IED was authorizing all of these things. And we were in a defense mode. We were in a defense posture. So I don't think that was the case at all. So an author has come and sought direction and approval of any litigation he was going to get involved in. So I don't have an issue with consultation with Stephanie, but Stephanie, with all due respect, is not an attorney, and she does not have to think on her feet on when someone's in front of a judge. So, that's why I'm looking to, in fairness to Teresa, I'm looking to postpone this so we could get a vetted opinion from our corporate counsel on how a motion like this, what implications and what impact that motion will have in tying the hands up of our...
Your time is up.
Okay, just 2 seconds. Tying the hands up of our corporate counsel. Thank you.
Thanks. I think we're at Jim Dingman, then Vanessa, then Beth.
We are at 11 minutes. I was asleep at the switch.
Got it. So if we're going to keep talking about this, we need a motion to extend or?
Motion to extend for 5.
Okay. Yeah. That'll work.
Second. Is that second, Vanessa? Thank you.
Yes.
So Beth moved to extend for five. Vanessa seconded. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for five? Hearing none. Five more minutes. So I think I said Jim Dingman, then Vanessa, then Beth.
Thank you. Look, I also don't like to see lawyers running around like they think they're gunslingers in at the OK Corral. But I also don't like to see litigation that drains us and makes us waste our time like gunslingers at the OK Corral, in my humble opinion. If we were concentrating on trying to make sure that all the stations that are weak are not weak, and trying to make sure the foundation as a whole has a resonance among the masses of Americans, we wouldn't be having these ridiculous fratricidal fights. So that's my opinion about all these lawsuits. They are a waste of time. They take energy away, and they have, in my humble opinion, not so hidden agendas of control. And that goes for everybody involved in that kind of stuff. If they would stop, we could concentrate on trying to improve everything. Thanks.
Vanessa, then Beth.
So it looks like this is a motion in search of a purpose. No purpose is served by it because there's no problem. The council performs his duties appropriately. It comes to the PND. There seems to be an implication. Well, not an implication. There's a direct statement that this is, you know, some form of disrespect to the ED. Everybody has their role. We have our role. Arthur has his role. The ED has her role. And we've also liberally, in the past, the PND has, you know, obtained the opinion, of the then IED. So there's a full range of input from all the relevant parties. That's what's happening. The motion doesn't do anything, doesn't solve any problem. There is no problem.
Beth and Susan Young.
Thank you. Yes, I know of no instance in which Pacifica General Counsel has proceeded without asking for and receiving consultation and direction from both Pacifica Management and Governance. And just to reiterate what Vanessa says, this strikes me as a solution in search of a problem and therefore extraneous and unnecessary. Thank you.
Susan, then Teresa, then Donald.
I'll say that I am myself a little confused about who calls the shots on legal matters. We rely very, very heavily on Arthur Schwartz's interpretation of matters. I look to the executive director to be in conversation with the attorney about, all of these matters and in greater detail than the board officers. I support, Lawrence's motion to postpone until Arthur Schwartz can be consulted. Frankly, I think Arthur would say, this is fine. This is the way I should and do business.
Madam Chair?
Sorry. I said Teresa, then Donald, but I was on mute. Go ahead, Teresa.
I would support postponing, and I encourage anyone to call me. Can't really discuss what I observed, but be happy to talk to you. So if you would like to have a healthy discussion about this situation, by all means, give me a call.
Donald.
Thank you. People just said that they've never seen Mr. Schwartz take action on his own without getting approval from this board. Did he not come before this board a week ago, regarding the Verniel binding arbitration decision and said that he was going to appeal it? And did we vote on that? I don't believe we did. I think he merely stated he was going to do that. And this board said nothing. Now, how does that, is that, should I interpret that as board approval without voting?
James McFadden and Jim Dingman.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the point of this is. This is just like, it's like saying we should use good business practices. Kind of like, you know, of course, the ED is going to consult with our lawyers regularly, and to try to write in something like this seems useless unless, and it's kind of hard for me to tell. It just looks like it's an attempt to kind of maybe gum up the works, you know, so that if something, you know, if a decision has to be made quickly, or an action has to be taken, you know, to protect Pacifica by our lawyers, you know, if they got to go through some rigmarole, you know, for some, you know, to file papers, it just seems like it gums up the works and slows everything down. So I just don't see any point in this. I'm going to vote against this.
Jim Dingman, then Teresa, but I'll remind people that right now we should be talking about not the motion. It's not Teresa's original motion, but Lawrence's motion to postpone. Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Well, I'll be very quick. I think, in my opinion, if we are then given a decision that is hundreds of thousands of dollars draining from a very weak foundation, plus extra money, I certainly think that one can defer, and I have no doubt that Mr. Schwartz does indeed consult with folks on this to act, try to turn that around. I mean, is that what people are asking actually he stopped to do, to sort of wait on this and not take what would be a logical course of action to try to ameliorate a $300,000 decision? That is money, 80 to 90% of it coming from listener members. I have to say that that is not logical. Thank you.
Teresa, then Lawrence.
I'll say yes, let's postpone. And in the meantime, I would love to talk to you, Jim. Love to talk to anyone about, the courtesy of, having, being sure that the person making the decisions is either the board or the executive director.
Thanks. Lawrence, then Darlene.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to announce that I have been compelled to vote against my own motion because of the compelling nature. I am so sorry, Susan, and I really appreciate your support. But in the ebb and flow of work, maintaining your work product. There are times when, lawyers have to be lawyers and act in our best interest, and we trust that they do. So that's, and a lot of the comments have compelled me to, vote against my own motion. So, that's what I will be doing. I urge people to vote no on this motion and then vote no on the original motion.
Darlene. You're muted if you're, Darlene.
If Stephanie is still on the call, so the example that was just given, could I ask, are you in agreement that Pacifica undergo a legal process to challenge the arbitration decision, and this is in the John Verniel lawsuit.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Teresa.
I think we are in an open meeting, right?
We are in an open meeting.
I would be reluctant to ask a question where the executive director might even possibly, state a disagreement with the attorney that might be proceeding.
Okay, I withdraw my question.
Thanks, Darlene. So it seems that we've exhausted the stack here. So Are there any objections to Lawrence's motion to postpone?
Yes, James.
Okay. Can we go to a vote, Marion, on Lawrence's motion to postpone, please?
Let's see. Got it. Teresa, Allen.
Postpone, yeah.
Vote yes. Jim Dingaman.
Pass.
Pass. Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin. One more time. Sue Goodwin.
She gets up at 4 a.m. on Thursdays, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes.
You may want to ask her to unmute again, Chair.
Okay, I'll come back to her. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
No.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
Comedy of errors, no.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Votes no. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Sharon Salam.
No.
Votes no. Mark van Landout. Mark van Landout. I hear nothing. Beth van Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis.
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Let's see who we've missed. Okay, I gather Sue Goodwin is no longer on the call. I hear nothing.
Jim passed. Just remember.
Oh, thank you for reminding me. Jim Dingaman.
No, in the interest of encephalitis of comedy of errors.
Okay, I will record that as a no. Let me see, who else did I get Donna Grimes? Is Donna Grimes on the call?
I did a ping, but.
Pardon?
I did a ping, but I don't know.
Okay. Is Mark van Landout still on the call? I see Mark on there. Mark, you are muted. Do you wish to vote? Okay. Don't know what to do about that. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 no votes. The motion to postpone fails.
So now we go to the main motion.
Okay, hang on. 7 yes, 9 no.
I would like to think that we've already had a fair bit of the discussion that we need to have, on the motion. Are people ready to vote? Or let me first ask, are there any
call the motion, please.
To the main motion?
Call the main motion.
It's a deal.
Are there any objections to the main motion?
I hate to say it, but yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so there were objections, so we're going to take a vote, Marion, if you could, please. Hey,
this is Teresa's.
My motion.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Votes yes. Jim Dingaman.
No.
Votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
No.
Votes no. Donald Goldmacher.
Yes.
Okay, votes yes. I gather Sue Goodwin is not available. Heather Gray.
No.
Votes no. Donna Grimes. Is Donna Grimes on the call? Here we go again. Okay, we'll pass on. Ali Lexa.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
Yes.
Votes yes. James McFadden.
No.
Votes no. Darlene Pagano.
Yes.
Votes yes. Lawrence Reyes.
No.
Votes no. Sean Rhodes.
No.
Votes no. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Sharon Salam. Sharon?
No.
Votes no. Mark Van Landout. Hey, it's not voting, evidently. Beth Van Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Egberto Willis. Egberto?
He's gone. I don't see him.
Okay, then he's not voting. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes votes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Abstains. Okay, there being 6 yes and 9 no votes, the motion fails.
All right, that takes us to the third item under unfinished business, and that was the election timeline and discussion, and it's there as a discussion because it wasn't posed as a motion per se. What I will point out is that in the appendix to the agenda, item 9A includes 2 sections from the bylaws pertinent to the timeline for elections. And Lawrence raised the issue. Lawrence, I wonder if you would...
Thank you so much. And this is a discussion that definitely needs to be had. Article 4, delegates, section 5, election time frame. I point out to my colleagues the citation that I emailed to the entire board. I like to move to the salient, what I think are the salient parts. And those salient parts are in bold type. It's right, it begins by, if in the year preceding delegate elections, the Pacifica National Board determines by 2/3 vote of the total number of directors conducted by email or paper ballot that the schedule above cannot be executed due to an exigent circumstances, they may by November the 30th, which is another day that we already passed, adopt a schedule subject to the constraints herein. And the constraints is to avoid, where possible, conflicts between major fund drives and period between the close of nominations and the election close date. 2, includes a period of not less than 30 days for nomination of candidates. 3, allows no less than 35 days after the mailing of ballots on or before which completed ballots must be received to be counted. 4, provides that other intervals within the timeline remain as stated in the preceding paragraph. And 5 allows for seating in December as provided in Article 7, Section 6 of our bylaws. The other citation that was noted, Article 4, Delegates, Section 4, Election Supervisors. So we already are outside the bylaws compliance, which was in March. So I'm going to skip over that. But colleagues, what we have to do, we have to vote on whether we're going to change the timeline frame and then go back to Teresa's motion in regards to how to pay, because the exigent circumstances are that that there's been a report from the ED and from the CFO that we have no money to conduct the 2022 delegate elections throughout the 5 stations. So as I read, it requires a two-thirds vote to determine how we're going to change it, and it also requires a waiving of the November 30th adopt date schedule subject to the constraints herein. So we need to leave that in place, but we need to adopt a different day as to the adaptation of a new schedule, I believe. Now, I know there's others on this board that may know better than me, and I won't be offended or hurt, if they could speak up as well. But it requires that we take a vote, and maybe we may need to schedule a vote, Chair, in regards to, looking at changing the time frame. So, I'll stop there, Chair.
Thank you, Lawrence. I will note that, you know, that there are instances, because I'm sure someone will be concerned about, you know, are we automatically now violating the bylaws, right? And just, you know, say, here's another instance where the board refuses to follow the bylaws. I think it's fair to say that, and I know that Lawrence tried to raise this issue previously, but our finances are worse than they were back in November, not better. We don't have to go into that in too much detail. I think most people agree with that. And you know, that's the part where, you know, sometimes your bylaws wind up being in conflict with reality, and we just have to find a path forward. So I would ask people not to, you know, dwell on the fact that, you know, here we are violating the bylaws again, but instead help us find, you know, a constructive path forward. So, and if someone has a motion to make at some point along the line here, that would be great. But, until then, I've got a stack of Teresa Donald, Susan Jim Dingman, then Mr. Tatum.